Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
This is another podcast. This is another episode where we don't know what to do in the beginning, so I just sing a song about nothing.
Yeah,
that's a good song.
I'm just singing about what I see or what I'm doing.
Song. Hey, did we talk about the lucha wrestling? Did we talk? We go to see?
Oh, I don't think we did.
No, we didn't. So we have stuff to talk about.
Oh, that's good.
So, I guess I'll kind of preface this, make a bit of a sort of an announcement, which
some people know, some people don't.
Some people know, some people know, but
we moved.
We moved. We moved to a different state.
Yeah, we left Los Angeles. We left California completely.
Yeah, we got the fuck out.
Yes, we have.
Which is rare, apparently.
Yeah, apparently nobody ever leaves L.A. Everybody hates it, but nobody moves.
Well, I just want to say that everybody that I would bring this up to, I'd be like, hey, man, you know, we're going to be moving out of state. They're like, oh, my God, you're so lucky. This is so cool. And I'm like, not because they miss me, because they want me to leave, but because they're happy that I lived here and that I managed to find my way out of here.
Yeah, which I never hated L.A.
No, I didn't hate either.
I still don't.
I still think it's a great place.
But I still think it's cool. I mean, it's got its drawbacks, but what place doesn't? But I never had a problem with it, which is surprising because I thought I would hate it.
It was a good time, you know, for, God, what was
eight
it?
8 years.
Almost 8 years?
I'm going to round up because I think we left like 5 or 6 days early.
Fair enough.
From almost exactly 8 years.
Yeah, so pretty much 8 years. And, you know, we lived there. And, you know, and it, obviously Los Angeles is the hub for many different things in entertainment. And, you know, obviously, and thankfully I was able to continue to do podcast, you know, learn how to do podcasting there and stuff like that. So, you know, we still have a lot of friends there and a lot of connections and stuff like that. So, but right now we moved to Colorado.
Yep.
Where Jen is from.
Yes. So I came home.
Jen came home and we are experiencing some nice weather.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Like by nice I mean not rippingly hot.
Yeah, we're not dying and it's fantastic. I mean Colorado does get hot. Let's not.
It does get hot. There were some days that
there were some
here.
Days where it was fucking 90 some degrees.
I'm still doing shorts.
Oh, well, yeah.
I haven't gotten out of the groove yet of wearing shorts and sandals.
It's still summer.
I know it's still summer, but it's not. There's days that don't quite always feel like summer.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's
once the sun goes down,
in that modest fall summer phase.
Yeah. Well, it's August. We are definitely going to have a bunch more hot days before it's completely over, but we're going to actually have a fall.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be great, and maybe I'll even fucking see snow, and it's gonna be exciting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons.
So yeah, so we're adjusting to that. So yeah, you know, getting to know where all the comic book stores are, doing some new stuff. We actually went to see wrestling.
Yeah,
we wrestling plus comedy.
Yeah, we haven't done any comic book shopping yet. That's gonna come soon because we have many more trips.
Well, we gotta get situated first.
Situated, you know. There's still stuff that needs to be figured out. But yes, we did go see wrestling at the Oriental Theater downtown in Denver. And it was Lucha Libre and Laughs.
Yes.
Which Jen brought that to my attention. And it's kind of like basically like a Lucha Vavoom.
There's no burlesque.
There's no burlesque and it's not as huge of a production.
Right.
No, but I mean, basically, it's two comedians that run the show, and then they come out and they bullshit, and then they go and sit down and they do commentary for the matches, which I didn't realize.
Neither did I, but I really liked it.
Yeah, like live commentary, and actually funny live commentary, because like Lucha Vavoom sort of does it, but it's not something that you're able to like.
It wasn't as good, I don't think. I only saw it once, so maybe it was that night or whatever, but this I felt was really funny and it was enjoyable. And then they do have stand-up comedians come out between the matches and do sets.
Yeah, they do bits.
So it was fun.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like the Oriental Theater, so there's a stage.
Which is an old theater.
It's an old theater.
Yeah.
Which apparently is still hosting, like, they bring in, like, I was looking at the concerts that are coming. So Orgy's coming.
Yeah, Orgy's coming.
Skinny Puppy. No, Ogre.
Ogre from Skinny Puppy. Skinny
Sorry,
Puppy.
Excuse me. Ogre from Skinny Puppy is coming. Big D and the Kids Table for you ska fans.
Oh, man.
For you ska.
Oh, don't you worry.
Ska maniacs.
Don't you worry. Denver is still feeling ska.
Are we?
It never went away. It's kind of like, as you know, when you turn on the radio, they're still playing, like, you know, fucking Marilyn Manson in the middle of the day.
Well, that's just because that station is nuts. Because
that station is insane.
We're talking KBBI. Yeah, they're just nuts because they're just like,
always happen.
They're like, hey, do you still like 2003? Well, here you go. Here's a bunch of sucks.
Don't worry. 2003 is alive and well.
Sean, do you remember when you had L-shaped sideburns? Well, here you go. Here's the soundtrack to your sideburns.
We knew you were coming, Sean. Here you go. Here's every song you loved.
Here's your Scott Stapp solo album.
Oh, God.
They hand that to you when you walk into Denver.
They're like, welcome to Denver.
Welcome to Denver.
Just a stack of new metal CDs.
Here's Motograder.
And CDs. Not
CDs.
CDs.
Here's Ministry's Rio Grande Blood or whatever the fuck. I'm trying to think what the 2003 was. Antihistamina, whatever.
Oh, sure.
It was called, with the goat on it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Here you go, Sean. Here's some Nothing Face for you.
Well, you know, here was the thing, because I actually looked into this. I don't know if you know, but Slayer was playing the other day.
Slayer's on a farewell tour.
They were at...
Well, the one guy died from spiders. You remember that?
Spiders?
He got bit by a spider and died.
What kind of spider?
Like a poisonous spider.
A black widow, brown recluse, do we know?
I think he got a brown recluse bite.
Those things are nasty.
Then he got necromancy on his arm.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah.
And then he died.
Yeah.
Fucking Jeff Hanneman, R.I.P.
Did he not get it treated?
There was a period when I was afraid of spiders.
Everyone should be afraid of the brown recluse spider. They're gross. And they can do that. Their bites can necrotize your tissue and, and shit will fall off and you can die.
Yeah.
It's gross. Mm-hmm. But they were playing not too far from where we are. They were playing Atlanta.
Oh, were they playing the Parker Arts Center?
No, they were playing Fiddler's Green, which is not too far from where we are.
Coming to the Parker Arts Center.
I did.
Wayne Brady, followed by Slayer.
And Lamb of God. And I did look
all
in,
at once.
I did look into tickets, unless we wanted to pay like $500 and sit up front, or like, I think it was still like $75 just to sit on the grass.
Oh, I don't want to see like, grass for Slayer.
Look, that's the thing. I don't want
to.
No.
Here's the thing. I've seen Slayer once. I don't need to say it again.
No,
I know
Slayer's
a great band.
I'm not a huge Slayer fan, but I'm like, I just want to sit like in the very last row of seats.
I saw them in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, shit.
That was a rough day.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we missed Slayer.
Yeah, that's, we missed Slayer. Bad.
But we did see some wrestling.
But we did some wrestling. And yeah, basically, this guy comes out and he's like the host and he does like a gimmick that's like, how would I best describe it?
He's kind of like a lounge dude.
Yeah, lounge guy. He's like a lounge, but he's also like kind of modern. So
his comedy is modern.
His comedy is modern, but it's done in the style of like a lounge, like a insult comic.
Oh, kind of. He's like got like a ruffled shirt on, you know, like a tuxedo from kind of like the 50s.
Like a John, basically looks like John Waters.
Yeah, he does. And he comes out, he's like, you know, he said he's straight from his residency in Duluth, maybe.
Or something. Yeah, Indiana.
Oh, Gary, Indiana. And he's just like, hey, it's me, you know, Bobby, whatever his name is.
Bobby Valentine.
But then he's like biting and very funny.
Yeah. Well, but very funny in the sense that like there's people in the crowd that are just, you know, they're getting, I mean, nobody got like rowdy.
No, but people started getting drunk and yelling shit.
So he's just giving it right back to them. And like,
yeah.
He just turns to this one guy that was giving him shit and he's like, the guy's wearing a polo and he goes, you're in sales. And I found it to be very funny.
We all did. It was
because
very funny.
I mean, look, no offense to anybody that's in sales, but if you're wearing a polo, you might get that joke thrown at you.
Yeah.
And then there was another one where he just kind of threw out like a local reference. It's like, oh, you don't get out of this town very much. Yeah. And I was like, woo, local comedy. Because you know, there's very lot of Denver comics.
Of
you know,
course,
there's some
yeah.
folks that you know do some touring, but that, and then yeah, the wrestling, which I only recognized the main guy, DJZ.
Oh, right.
Because he's in TNA.
Yeah. The rest are just local dudes.
Maybe they'd probably use some touring. I don't know. But, you know, just a bunch of guys, assorted gimmicks of things.
Yeah.
You know, actually, they didn't really. It's a lot
there was
like
a yoga guy. That was the weirdest. I've never seen anybody pin two other people with a yoga mat before.
Well, not only that, but he.
There.
Well, I know that is something people do. I've seen that done before.
No, I've never seen it.
But he did it with a moonsault, so he kind of had to hold the mat while he flipped.
Yeah.
And use that. So that's pretty impressive. Because, you know, you got to be able to think to do, you know, to safely land while holding a mat. Yeah. Just, it was a pretty interesting show, and I definitely would go again. And it was a lot of fun. So yeah. If you have a chance to check that out somehow, you know, or something of that ilk, you know, definitely check out those kind of shows because those are a hoot. And I know Denver's got a bunch of cool wrestling things.
Yeah.
There's things around here that, you know, I'm discovering. You know, we went to the library. They have comic books. Like trades. I'm reading my Gene DeWolf one, which we're going to actually, I was... Just as a teaser, because I think we would do this for next week's show. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do a book out of there because it's kind of like an intense like crime drama thing.
Sure.
But then after like the initial arc, there's a few issues in there that take place like a couple years later that involve this character, the Sin Eater. You know that who assassinated Gene DeWolf. Spoiler alert. It's an issue of the Spectacular Spider-Man, and it's just there's some stupidity going on. Regis Philbin is there.
Nice.
So
we always love that.
So if you're bringing Regis Philbin into your mentally ill serial killer book,
oh well, you're gonna end up on Worst Collection.
Then you're gonna have to end up. I'm sorry, this is on you, guys. This is on you, Marvel.
It really is. I mean, you should have known what you were getting into.
I was gonna give you a pass
when you wrote this before this show existed.
Yeah, I was gonna give you a pass, but then you know, then I read that, and I was like, well, you know, now you're just asking for it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So nobody come at me or Jen when you're like, hey, don't make fun of, you know, dude, Gene DeWolf, that's a great arc. I'm like, yeah, but then this is the shit that took place a couple years later when Regis Philbin showed up and he's like my weakness or whatever.
You can't expect us not to say anything when Regis Philbin shows up in a comic book.
Which, I mean, the funny thing is,
it's like a rule.
And I'm just I'll give this a little bit. It doesn't even look like Regis Philbin. Looks like Peter Jennings. But they refer to him directly as Regis Philbin.
They were just like, draw just a maybe the person who drew him didn't know what Regis Philbin looked like.
Maybe Regis Philbin wasn't seen until the late 90s, until after this comic.
Well, all of a sudden he just like walked into the spotlight and his teeth blinded everybody.
He's like, hey, I'm here.
He's like, bah! And everybody's like, oh my God, Regis.
Somebody found him in a box of Wheat Thins. Because he's small.
He is a wee man.
That's my only jokes I have for Regis Philbin.
Well, you got to save him.
They involve Wheat Thins, so I have to write it.
You got to write a tight five of Regis Wheat Thin humor, and then we'll do it on the show.
I can go for a box of Wheat Thins right now. That sounds really good.
That does sound good. We should go get some.
Oh, look. Holy Toledo. It's Regis Philbin. He's bringing me a box of Wheat Thins. All right, great. But yeah, so yeah, things are fun, and I have other stuff we can talk about. I think we'll save that for the other show.
Sure.
Because there's a movie I watched.
Oh, well, there's a movie I'm looking forward to.
There's actually a few movies we watched.
Yeah, well, there's a movie I'm looking forward to, but I won't get to see it until next year.
What's that?
That movie is called Hard Powder.
Oh,
starring Liam Neeson as a snowplow driver who has to get revenge on the cartel that murdered his son.
If there's ever a movie...
I can't wait for this movie. It's going to be so bad, and I love every second of it.
I'm gonna lay this out there. If we ever get, you know, we ever get a chance to go back to L.A., and we go to It's a Wrap on Magnolia Boulevard, and they're selling clothes from Hard Powder.
We're buying everything.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to dress exactly...
You know what? I think they probably filmed
the entire outfit. Because there's a store in L.A. called It's a Wrap where you could buy, you know, like all the wardrobe departments go like, you know.
Yeah, we don't need the shit.
We got too many shirts on the fucking Malcolm in the Middle, so let's give them to this store, and then you could go and buy them.
Yeah, I know. Wasn't it like the Ghost Whisperer?
There was a lot of Ghost Whisperer.
Because they had just, like, canceled the show or something. And there was just all
How long was that show on?
Oh, it was on forever. And it was just like all this shit. And it has tags to tell you like where it came from. It'll be like, this is from The Ghost Whisperer. This is from, I don't know, Glee, whatever. But they probably didn't film Hard Powder.
Oh, you had to go to like to the Swedish, to like Alaska's version.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably filmed in Vancouver. Oh. Right?
Oh, the Canadians are so lucky. So, but I'll save some of that stuff for next time. But we have a book this week.
Oh man, do we have a book?
And we have a book, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. So we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk about our book for this week.
Take the Earth's mightiest heroes, each an invincible champion of justice, and band them together to assemble the legendary Justice League of America. For 261 issues and 3 annuals, the DC Universe was defended from threats on Earth and beyond by this legendary team. Operating from a cave in Happy Harbor to a satellite orbiting 22,300 miles above the Earth to Detroit, Justice's First Dawn, a classic Justice League of America podcast, will follow the League through all their evolutions. Please join your host, Mike Peacock, as I seek to cover all of the issues of the classic pre-crisis Justice League of America series. Through the magic of the JLA transporter, each issue will be randomized, with special episodes covering a complete story arc if needed. Along with the issue coverage, we shall also look at what the then-current members of the Justice League were up to in solo appearances and other comics for the JLA cover month issue. So do not hesitate to activate your JLA signal device for Justice's First Dawn, a classic Justice League of America podcast, on classicjla.podbean.com or by subscribing through iTunes.
All right, we're back here in our worst collection ever with our book for this week. We are doing World's Finest Comics, number 233 from October 1975.
Mm-hmm.
As we promised.
Yes, we talked about this, I believe, at the beginning of last show.
Yeah, we talked about, I think it was something about whether or not we've done any Super Sons comics, which we did. There was an issue, and now I'm blanking on the actual issue, but super listener Russell Bragg helpfully pointed that out to us.
Yes,
it was one
he
of
did.
Our early issues.
Yes, but it was not this issue.
No. No, it was the one we did had to do with Batman and Superman framing the Super Son, or somebody framed Batman and Superman about murdering.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
like, oh,
that
we're
used to happen a lot in those
oh, yeah.
old books. Everybody got framed for murder a lot.
Yeah, we're getting framed for murder a lot yeah. in these books. I mean, it's a Bob Haney thing, which, by the way, Bob Haney.
Oh, Jesus, Bob Haney.
But, I mean, look, it came up that we haven't, because we've done a bunch of Bob Haney pretty recently.
We definitely have.
I feel like Bob Haney and Fabian Nicieza.
Oh, yeah.
Are like two heavy staples of our worst collection ever diet.
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely.
Because we just did a Fabian Nicieza issue last week too.
Yes, except Fabian Nicieza isn't like a horrible misogynist,
oh,
unlike
yeah.
Bob Haney, which we're gonna talk about.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. But we haven't done a Super Sons in a while. I think the last time we did one was like episode 10.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And we did it, I think there was also Blue Devil that we did along with it.
Probably, that sounds right.
I think, I mean, you know, I could easily just look, but I know that Russell was very helpful to point that out to us, and
yes.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, Russell.
Yeah, DC Comics Presents Show, please check out his podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, World's Finest Comics. So here's what I love about this cover. Is the logo, because it's like World's Finest, and then it's like tiny words, just comics.
I actually like this cover a lot. I love the color scheme that they used. I know that's a really weird thing to say.
No, I get you.
It's like an orange going into yellow, so it's kind of like a sunset thing behind this green one-eyed monster that is like holding Batman in one of its tentacles and like snarling at Superman. I don't know. It's just very bright. It's actually, I think it would be a cool poster.
It would be.
I actually wouldn't mind it
without anything on it. Like,
you mean
just,
no
like,
words?
Textless?
Oh yeah, no. I think it'd be cool. Yeah. I just really like it. I think it's cool looking.
It's a very cool superhero sci-fi looking poster.
Yeah, it is. I like it a lot.
So as Jen mentioned, you know, we have a monster, and then at the bottom on the ground, there's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed as a police officer holding a rifle, trying to presumably shoot this monster. I don't know.
And then there's these two other women holding shotguns or rifles, maybe, and they're wearing bell bottoms, as
yeah.
was the style at the time.
War bottoms.
And they're also going to shoot this monster, and this monster is saying, Superman? Sorry, it says, surrender, or I command my females to kill your friend.
Okay, so they are pointing at the monster, or yes. pointing at Batman.
Oh, they're pointing at Batman.
Because at the bottom it says, world without men.
Oh my God, could what you about just men? Imagine what a horror?
Oh man.
Yeah.
So the story, as is the aforementioned, world without men, and this is Batman and Superman, and they're super sons.
And this is, the super sons to me are one of the most ridiculous inventions that DC Comics has ever created.
So let's just kind of go back here and think. I'm trying to think.
I don't know when they first showed up.
What's the idea? So like
the idea is that they are
Batman Jr. is the product of Batman, and
there's no mother. That's the thing. They'll say like they're, I don't believe their mothers are ever identified. Now I could be wrong about that, but at least in the ones I have read, their mothers are never identified. They look exactly the same as their fathers. They have the exact same names as their fathers, and they wear the same costumes.
Yeah.
So basically, they were created because people wanted to do stuff with young Superman and Batman, but they didn't want to use Superboy because you can't use, Batman's not around, so you have, I think that's why this was created, to give them more of like a hip.
Yeah, well, basically.
And their hair's even drawn a little longer because it's the 70s.
Yeah, and they kind of throw, I feel like they have them in more things of that era.
Yeah, and they don't have to, they talk differently, obviously, because they're younger and hipper or whatever.
Yeah, because they're, you know, they're watching, you know, the Mod Squad.
They're cool,
shit.
Guys. Man, they're just baby boomers. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's ridiculous. So we have, like, on this first page, Superman, Batman, Super Sons, and we have in the sky, kind of.
Look in the background.
Helpfully
you have,
watching over them.
Are they ghosts?
I don't know. I'm like, how are they seeing this?
Because are they. Let's set this up here. So
it's Superman and Batman. The real ones.
The real ones. They're in the background, kind of like as like apparitions. They're like, oh no, watch out, Super Sons.
Yeah, going that way is danger. Like, that's Batman's, like, what does he say here? He says,
Batman's like, Bruce Clark, don't take that turn. I can sense terrible danger. And Superman's like basically like, you know what? They can't hear us, and fuck them. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. It's kind of like they really are like ghosts, but I don't think they're dead.
No, they're not. They're not. They're just.
I know, but I mean, like.
Maybe Green Lantern's doing something to kind of.
I was going
to
say, they're kind of like a guardian thing. Like, are they watching through like an orb or some shit?
Yeah, Green Lantern's like, they're like at the satellite, and they're like, yo, can we look at our kids?
Is there a magic mirror involved?
Is there a magic mirror? Because talk to our kids, they're like, how do you have kids?
Yeah, where?
We've never heard of this child. It's like, yeah, it's Batman Jr. Yeah, Superman Jr. Look, there they are.
Yeah, and they're teenagers. Yeah.
We've had them for like 15 years.
Or at least young adults. I don't know exactly how old they are. I think they're a little older. They might be like 20.
Yeah, probably like 18, 20.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're legal adults, but
they're not teenagers. But
yeah,
they're not
like 14,
adults.
But they're, yeah.
They're dumb enough to be teenagers, but they're man enough to be adults.
Yeah, well, they're man enough to fuck. Which,
man enough to fuck.
Don't you worry about that.
That's what I would call one of the trades, Super Sons, Volume 1, man enough to fuck.
So, this is so weird. So, we have Clark Jr. and Bruce Jr. on a boat. A ferry, I'm sorry, because they have like a mystery machine.
Yeah, they have like a mirth,
a mystery machine.
It's basically a mystery machine, but basically they're doing like,
it's the same kind of van. It's a mystery machine.
Basically, we're doing like Easy Rider.
Yeah, and they're like on a ferry in some swamp. I don't think it's ever discussed where. And they're like, hey, there's two signs in the said swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says state capital this way and this place called Belton that way. And they're like, hey.
You mean I can get to the state capital via swamp?
Yeah, you can get to whatever state this is. And I'm just going to read what this says here. Because Superman's like, hey, we should go to the state capital. We can phone home. And Bruce goes, check, Clark, kiddo. And this old dude's funky ferry must have carried Jeb Stuart's cavalry. But dig that other road. Looks real fascinating. No G.
Shut up.
What's Belton, old timer? Because, you know, obviously everybody else is old. But these two are hip. And they're going to head towards Belton, which is a ghost town. And this guy tells him, hey, don't go that way. You might not come back. And he laughs. He goes, heh, hee, haw. Hee haw.
He's like, hee hee haw.
So they got off They drive their Mystery Machine onto the shore, and they're like, we're going to Belton because we're hip adventure dudes, and we want to see what's going on this cool place.
So they're driving through the swamp, and also at one point they're talking about snacks here real quick, because it's something like, they're like, oh, we can get a town. Maybe we can get a bowl of ghost toasties.
Yeah, I'm
tired of monoxide flavored chocolate bars. Probably because they taste like the car.
Oh, yeah, maybe, I guess.
Also, what the hell is Batman eating chocolate for?
Also, can I get some ghost toasties?
Some monoxide-flavored chocolate bars?
I would like to try some ghost toasties. I don't know. I mean, is it like Count Chocula? Or is it like Boo Berry?
No, I think he's talking about weed. I think he's talking about edibles, to be quite honest.
Is he calling them ghost toasties? Maybe it's not weed. Maybe it's LSD, and it's the stamp has like a picture of a ghost on it. And that's a ghost toastie.
How cool would
I mean, we're talking, this is the 70s. Oh, is it a Quaalude with a ghost on it?
How about this? How about we get ourselves a table at Denver Comic Con now that we're here?
And we sell ghost toasties?
We sell ghost toasties. We see how the people come in. It's like, hey, I know what you're doing, man. I gotcha.
Hey, weed's legal here. How about some ghost toasties?
It's what I call booberry mixed with weed.
Ew, God, that sounds awful.
Well, no, you just...
What if ghost toasties just booberry mixed with Count Chocula?
Ooh, ghost toasties.
Yeah. They see like a poster and it's just like a giant eye. And it has like mascara on. And they're like, oh, is it like an ad for makeup? Broads.
Look, we'll be honest. There's
there's so much misogyny.
I think we need to kind of restrain ourselves here, because there's something to unpack, because this is Bob Haney comic, and
this episode could probably be like 6 hours long.
This is
like if we let ourselves talk about every panel.
This is like the Golden Corral.
Okay.
Of comic book joke material.
Yeah.
For podcasting.
Do you want to go to Pizza Hut tonight?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
This is staying there, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking about, there's an actual fucking Pizza Hut still in existence.
Pizza Hut's still a thing?
Not in many places.
What do you mean?
I mean,
it's gotta be something.
Isn't there that thing online where it's just like, this is old Pizza Huts that have now been turned into like whatever else?
Yeah, but Pizza Hut's still doing things.
Are they?
I don't know.
I haven't been to a Pizza Hut in years.
We're gonna go tonight.
Fuck yeah, we are. Right. Anyway,
so they get to this house, they get to this town, and they're like, "Oh man, sounds like an old ghostly geezer pounding away." They come in, and it's
like a blacksmith's thing.
Blacksmith.
And they walk in, and they're like, "A girl doing manual labor, you know, because that's her job." And she like swings this thing at him because Clark is like, "Oh, let me help you, woman who literally does this every day for a fucking living." And she's like, don't touch me, dude. And like swings around.
Rightfully so.
I mean, this is a strange man who just walked into her place of employment and started trying to touch her. So she like swings the hot poker towards him and is like, hey, stay back, dude. And he's like, oh my God, this crazy dame would have burned my eyes out. What does he call them? Super tissues or something?
He's like, look. He's like, you know what? That was nuts, but I have super eye tissues.
That's right, so super eye tissues.
Even though my glasses are probably now fucking melted.
To my face,
which, yeah, but since I have super eye tissues, my melted glasses will not stick to my eyeballs.
I also would like to just point out that every single time the women in this comic justifiably are like, hey, strange man who just walked up, maybe you shouldn't touch me, they act like these women are crazy.
This would be the same thing.
Like they're just out of their minds that they wouldn't want a dude they've literally never seen before to walk up and grab them from behind.
Well, literally, if they're walking in, they're like, hey, we're in this town. Hey,
we're strangers.
But do you guys have a ghost toasties?
Yeah.
You know?
If they just were like, hey, excuse me, ma'am, could you tell me where to get some ghost toasties? She'd probably have been like, yeah, corner store or whatever. He's just like, let me help you do your job. And he starts coming for her.
Yeah.
And then they're portrayed like they're the ones. The women are portrayed like they're the ones who are like just out of their minds.
Yeah.
And irrational. And you're like, dude, no.
To use a current example, it'd be like walking into a Pizza Hut and going into the back and just BMT, and a woman's like, a woman making pizza? Hey, let me help you.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Then she throws you into the oven.
Nice.
Then you're like, oh, my super eyes protected me from this pizza oven.
My super skin is protecting me from this hot pizza oven.
I don't think they have a pizza oven at Pizza Hut. It's just a giant microwave.
Maybe we'll find out. Hey, maybe something can... Maybe,
well, if we go in the back and offer our help to the people who work there. Let's do that.
Because, you know, Pizza Hut is all volunteer basis. and you can stuff some cheese into some... bread.
Did you see that onion thing that I yes. showed you where it was just like a Pizza Hut unveils a cheese stuffed delivery boy?
It's just this horrible Photoshop of a man with cheese coming out of his eyes. It's
disgusting.
Which I kind of wish that happened in this book.
Right?
Look, Bob Haney, you know.
I mean, you could have had given me Cheese Man.
You could have had it where you got stuffed with cheese. And so they go out. And...
Yeah, they go to the actual town and it's a town full of ladies.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, hey, babes, dames, oh yeah, boobs, woo-woo-ga. Like, he, yeah. You know that in Looney Tunes, that like wolf?
Yeah.
Where his eyes get all big? That's literally what they are right now.
Basically, anytime in a cartoon where a man sees a hot lady
yeah.
and starts freaking the fuck out.
That's
basically what,
they are. What
these two dummies are doing right now.
Yeah. And so they like park on the side of the street and immediately they get a ticket. From like the policeman, and they continually call every woman they encounter toots, babe, sweetheart, like well, you name it. Just like they're just like, hey, toots, no need to give me a ticket, baby.
Oh, I love this part here. Where,
like, that's gonna not be condescending at all.
Well, this is my favorite part. So one of my favorite parts is like, so the girl comes up and she's like, this girl comes up to the officer and she's like, having trouble, officer. She says, I'm Sister Sarah, Belton's mayor. And to which Bruce responds, Mayor Dahl.
Yeah, but the women are the ones who are wrong. Don't forget.
Right.
According to Bob Haney. And you're like, dude, what the fuck? And he's like,
Mayor Dahl.
Mayor Dahl. He's calling people toots. Like, both of them. They're just, it's awful. And, but the, again, the women are like supposed to be crazy. And they're like, hey, Mayor Dahl, we didn't see the no parking signs. We haven't got that kind of bread
because
they got a $500 ticket. And I'm like,
You're Bruce Wayne.
You're Bruce Wayne.
You're Bruce Wayne Jr.
You have so much money.
Also, you're Superman. Also,
you have 500. You know what? The bottom of your shoes are made of stacks of hundreds.
Also, I want to point out, you have Superman Jr. sitting right there, who I guess could fly.
I'm assuming.
He could literally be like, fuck your ticket. Bruce, get in this van. I'm going to fly this van to Metropolis, and we're gonna not, and they don't even have our mailing addresses.
Yeah,
we're trying to parse out some logic here.
Yeah, there is none. It's just cocaine. It's ghost toasties, and it's Bob Haney being really pissed off at the women's movement is what this comic book is. So of course Bruce Wayne's like, hey, I can't pay that ticket, which he totally can. And he goes and he tries again to touch this woman. And she's like, don't fucking touch me. And he's like, but what? And they're like, we live here because we don't like men. We don't want men to fucking touch us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, real heavy women's lib stuff. And this is Bruce says, but baby, he's talking to the mayor. But baby, without men, how will you have lovers, husbands, families? Almost like he's never heard of lesbians.
He might not have.
You know, women can have sex together, like without dudes, right? So as all that's happening, there's a woman who's like,
he hasn't developed his own curriculum yet to learn about lesbians.
He's like, I would like to investigate these lesbians.
Give me that comic, Bob Haney. The Super Sons discover lesbians.
How did Bob Haney die? Was it just like a massive overdose of cocaine, or was it just
Bob,
old?
How did Bob Haney die? Probably was beaten to death by women.
It's like that.
Yes, I was murdered.
Exactly. From Conan used to do this bit called "The Singing Ghost" with
Artie Kendall,
"The Singing Ghost," who was performed by Brian Stack, and it is so fucking funny. It's one of my favorite bits ever. But it would come out and he would just like sing horrible songs about women and like, you know, whatever.
The Irish.
And Conan would just go, I'm surprised you wasn't murdered. You weren't murdered. And he goes, but I was murdered.
I was murdered on the stage.
I was murdered right here.
Yeah. Look up Artie Kendall, by
the way. It's really funny. It's enjoyable. We're going to have to post one of those to the
page. He's a Bob Haney character. Let's tell
he
you
really is. He's if Bob Haney was a lounge singer.
Could Bob Haney sing? He sure can.
He can now. So as all this is going on, I'm assuming this woman is like, her job is to clean the gutters or something.
She's roofing.
She's a roofer. And she like slips and she almost falls off the roof and she's like holding to the gutter and she's calling for help. And Clark, he's like, well, I can just fly up there and get her. I should do that. And they're like, no, don't touch her. Men can't touch women here. Let us go get our rescue force. So like, if there were no superheroes, let us call the people who are supposed to help. Well, they try. Unfortunately, she slips and this woman dies.
Yes.
And they're like, well, if you crazy broads just would have like let us expose our superpowers or something. I'm not exactly sure how this works.
They're like, look, if you would have just let us help you, maybe she wouldn't have died. And they're like yeah,
well, she died.
She's dead.
Yeah.
Mayor Roofer is dead.
Yeah. And then here, Bruce says this. He's like, she's like, this is very, the mayor says, this is very sad, but it cannot be helped. I mean, if they were not there, she would have died.
Yeah.
And so Sister Jane knew what she was doing, that in doing a man's work, she ran the same risks. It's true. Mm-hmm. And Bruce just goes, while you cold-blooded witch, you and Big Sister Sybil and this whole weirdo town belong in a freak show, touch you, I ought to slap some sense into your pretty faces. Hey, hot chicks, I should beat you.
You want to listen to a man?
So they get scooped up in like a bulldozer.
Now I feel this is worse than making fun of Jing the Wolf.
Oh, this is awful. So they scoop.
How did you get past the authority?
This is the 70s.
Why am I even asking these questions?
It's the 70s. That's all you need to know. It's the 70s and people like Bob Haney really hated the fact that women wanted to wear pants and get paid for
literally
jobs.
Literally wear the pants.
So they scoop them up into this like bulldozer and they dump them into what looks like a trash chute.
No, what they would.
Which says like, belt. Look, it looks like a trash chute.
It's, well, right. It does. It, well, actually, what it is, it looks like the jail for some reason has a book deposit slot. Outside
they
of
just
it,
put men in it.
And so it just when it opens, you dump, but only for men. Like, just, I don't think they dump women in there.
No,
like that.
They walk them through the front door. They just like dump men into a book deposit.
Women have dignity in this town. Men just get dumped into the book deposit slot.
You know what? This just they really need to just take this panel and just it needs to become like a Twitter meme where it just says men are trash, and it's just dumping them in. So whenever you need to use that, it's right here.
I do like the concept of a jail having a book deposit slot, but for bodies.
It's a body deposit slot.
Yeah.
So they get dumped in and Bruce is like pissed and he's like, why didn't you stop this? And he's like to Clark and Clark's like, I don't know. I mean, besides the fact that he's not wearing his Superman costume, he's in this civilian identity.
Yeah.
He says, I'm thinking there's more to more than meets the big eye than we know. So I'm kind of just trying to see what's going on. So when they stand up, they realize that there's just like a bunch of other dudes in this cell with them who are all like,
they're all like, yo, I came through here and then I got
a parking ticket and they threw me in here. And they're like, every once in a while, they'll take out a dude and he'll never come back. And it's those crazy dames have murdered him. I think it's death by Snoo Snoo.
Yep.
From Futurama, yeah. Because, you know, that's how they're going to have families, Bruce. They worked it out.
Yeah. They don't got to fucking tell you.
Yeah. They don't have to fucking tell you how this works.
How dare you don't tell Bruce Wayne Jr. Jr.
Oh, my God. So eventually, like, they're sitting there at night and Clark can hear through the wall the mayor and the policewoman, who, by the way, is like the sexiest policewoman.
Uh-huh.
You would assume she would want to wear pants.
Lady cop.
She
looks like Zinda Blake.
Yeah. You know, she's kind of wearing like a less sexy version of like a slutty Halloween costume.
She's dressed like Lady Blackhawk.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. So they're talking about it. They're like, oh, I don't know. I just feel so bad.
Real quick. I do like this panel here of Bruce.
Clark.
Clark looking at his John Denveriest.
Oh, yeah.
Listening through the wall.
Yeah. He really does look very intense. Mm-hmm. That really does look like the cover of an album. And they're like, you know, we restored this ghost town because we wanted to, you know, basically live without men. but we can't keep these dudes in jail forever because that's, you know, wrong. And they're like, but...
Well, you just threw them in... You have a slot where you dump men into a building.
But they're like, oh, wait, this is wrong, but we're doing it because, you know, the eye tells us to.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're finally like, well, we can break out of jail by... I don't know what he pulls here. Just like... The slot?
He just pulls the wall apart.
Yeah, he pulls the wall apart.
So Superman's like...
Somehow the other men don't see this happening.
Well, or hear
this happening.
Oh, no, he pulls him through the deposit.
Yeah.
He opens up the deposit and he's like, ha-ha, fuck you, other men.
Yeah, and they leave him in there.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, those other men never come back, so...
No, they're dead.
I'm assuming they all die. They get out and they go into their hippie van...
To get their hippie outfits.
Where we didn't mention this before, but there is a lovely panel at the very beginning when they're driving into town of their costumes both just like hanging, like on the hooks in the back of the van.
And they're like, "Oh, I'm glad they didn't look in our van. They would have known. They would have known that we were Superman and Batman Jr.
So they like get their costumes on, because they want to go to the funeral for this woman who died earlier. Yeah. So the funeral starts, and they're like, well, we're going to go follow them.
Well, I like this. So here's this line where it's like, they're like, okay, good. We have our clothes. And they're like, hey, what's that crying, marching feet? And it's like, oh, it's a funeral procession. Well, it's time. They're going to be joined by two male mourners.
And then
guys are so hard up just to do anything with these women.
Oh, they really are.
Because they're like, yeah, you can let us mourn with you.
It was the 70s, man. Everybody was fucking.
Yeah.
Like... They could have just driven over to the next town, I'm sure, and found some willing ladies to fuck with.
Yeah.
But no. So, but then we have my favorite panel, I think, in any comic book.
Yeah.
It is Superman and Batman go into the swamp to follow this, like, boat.
Yeah.
To the burial site. Superman swims, and he holds Batman up like he's a server at a restaurant. And he holds his like hand up.
For some reason, I thought he was sitting on his back.
He's on his hand. So Superman's like a server on a restaurant holding a tray above his head, and Batman is just sitting on his palm. And as Superman swims through the swamp, it's probably
we got ass to palm in this book.
Absolutely ass to palm. It's my favorite fucking panel. It's so dumb. It's so ridiculously dumb that why wouldn't he just like why wouldn't he also swim? I don't know.
Why not just also fly? I mean, I know you're trying to sneak around, but I mean, you can fly.
It's nighttime.
Yeah.
Just go high.
Just go really high and then just come down really quietly.
Right into the trees somewhere. You'll be fine. So they go to this like pillar where there's a giant eye and...
Giant eyeball.
The eye talks, I guess.
Basically, so what's going on is the eye's like... You know, the eye
really is like that snoo snoo thing.
Yeah, basically like the eye is like basically...
Because remember they had... The fembot voiced by
B. Arthur,
and she talked through like a thing just like this.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So basically, they're like having this funeral procession. They're like, okay, sad that this woman died, but we have like also people that are getting kind of soft here. So the mayor and the Lady Blackhawk, you know, they're kind of being soft here. So now you have to go back and like kill all the men.
Yeah. Just go kill all of them.
Go kill men. I do like here, though, where they're like, ah, well, they said we're going to have to go kill Batman and, you know, Bruce and Clark Jr. And it's like, oh, I'm glad we're not in that cell. It's like, well, they're just going to kill all those other dudes.
Yeah, those other guys are dead now.
Dude just got a parking ticket. Now he can never see his family again because you dipshits.
Right? You should help them. That's your job.
Yeah.
So all the women go back to kill the men. Clark and Bruce are like, let's go talk to the big guy. I forget what he asks here. He's like, Big Sister Sybil.
Sybil, we want
some important. We have questions. But they're kind of upset because they walk up to Big Sister Sybil, who's a big monolith with a giant eye, and she doesn't recognize them. And they're like, wait a second, Batman and Superman are world famous, man. And then
a piece of shit.
And of course...
You don't know who I am!
And then so Batman's like, we demand to know why you turn these gullible girls against men. And like, I think it had something to do with men. But don't tell him.
I think it's men.
I think it's the men.
I think he's talking about you.
He's talking about you. So this goes to the, of course, the God forbid, like women want equal rights. You must automatically hate men.
Uh-huh.
That we still deal with today.
Oh, yeah. More things change, more things stay the same.
Pretty fucking much. And so they're like, well, you know what? These women were always against you. They're just here. And I unspoil loyalty, whatever. And then Batman gets really, really pissy. And he's like, you got to be kidding. You and these poor mixed up chicks are freaky. A menace to men and a menace to society in general.
But they weren't bothering anybody.
No, and he's like yelling at this. It's like he's literally like the dude in the bar who like somebody steps on his foot. And he's like, you want to go, bro? Because Superman's actually like holding him back and telling him to calm down.
Oh, he's going full Ray Lewis on this shit.
He really is. He's like, I'm going to fight you. And you're like, you're going to just punch a monolith, dude. It's like, it's fine.
Please
like,
do.
Actually, I'd love to see that. If he just started like punching.
Please punch a standing structure.
A giant stone. He's just, girls don't like me. Town, and he starts punching it. So the eye like grabs him in a force field, which Superman, I guess, punches the force field, but it kind of just looks like he punches Batman.
Pretty much. I mean, he punches the force field because the force field will allow, you know, basically, you know, will disperses because he engages more force on the force field. I guess
right.
That's how that works.
And so he grabs Batman and he like flies away.
Yeah, and then
so and he puts him in a tree.
They go, the head up in the tree.
That's which is also a great panel because he just lays him down in a tree.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh man, that force field.
He hides him in a tree and then he's like, and they're like, oh, well, the women are,
right.
They got dogs.
They're coming to find us.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, now we're the targets and those women are coming to find us. And this is where Clark goes like, oh, well, I'm half Kryptonian, so I don't have a smell.
That's right. Like, I didn't know that
was
a thing.
Is that a thing? That's not a thing.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not a thing now.
You can't tell me these two, like, I'm assuming they're just dripping in whatever the 1970s version of Axe body spray was. So what is that, Old Spice?
Old Spice, yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me that these two, we're gonna fuck all the chicks dudes, are just, like, just reeking of Old Spice.
Uh-huh.
You know, they, and like, I don't know, hair gel? I don't know. It's the 70s.
Guys, for those of you that were down in the 70s, what were you wearing?
I have pictures of my dad from the 70s where he's got like a handlebar mustache, so.
Maybe your dad can answer that question.
Well, I know he does.
Did you wear deodorant in the 70s?
I certainly wore deodorant, and probably Old Spice.
That's the same thing.
No. Old Spice used to only be cologne.
Oh.
So now they make like Old Spice deodorant and stuff and like body wash, but it only used to be cologne.
Probably some consort hairspray. Do you want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
I think I've told
you. Is it about
before.
Old Spice?
No, it's about consort hairspray. Because
wait, is that a hairspray brand?
Yeah, it was like a old man hairspray.
Oh no, I don't know this.
It had a picture of like a man with like Ted Koppel hair on it. So it was like a drawing, and it was like
okay,
right. So the one time I. And I felt bad about this at the time. I was like seventh grade, and my friend, I'm not going to say his name, but you can already guess which one.
I think I know.
Me and another friend of ours were looking in his, fucking around in his bag, in his gym bag, because we're going to go like weightlifting or something.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking in his bag, and he had consort hairspray in there, and I go, ah, look at so-and-so's hair, old man hairspray, ha-ha, you know, because he has a coif.
But not only that, but like, where did he get it?
I don't know. It was 1993. You can still get shit, old man shit back then.
Was it discontinued back then?
I don't know.
Like with a drawing of a dude with Ted Koppel hair?
Yes.
On the can?
It was a
in 93?
Yes. That's what he had in his bag.
Are you sure it wasn't his grandpa's?
That's what he had. Maybe it was.
Or his uncle's.
Maybe it was.
I'm going to guess it was his uncle's.
It was probably something that he had on hand.
I know who you're talking about.
But so I was like, aha, look at so-and-so's old man hairspray, right? And then I think he kind of caught us or something. And I was like, he's like, you guys go through my bag. I was like, no, it was so-and-so for so. And then this friend of mine kicked my other friend.
But it was your fault?
But it was my fault.
Good
and my
job,
other
babe.
Friend, you know, had to go run in the bathroom and hide because he was really upset because he got kicked. You know, and eventually it came out that I was like, yeah, I did it. And he's like, Sean, why would you do that? You know, because I've been doing leg press and my legs are really strong now in seventh grade. So I had a lot of force when I kicked so-and-so. I'm sorry. Consort hairspray has a lot of memories that's like...
Yeah, well, I'm sure Superman is wearing it.
Oh, yeah.
So they get this idea to like mask the scent. They're going to switch costumes.
This is dumb.
So
this is only
Superman and Batman switch costumes. So Superman as Batman. I don't know. I don't even know. So whatever. They switch costumes. So like masking sense something.
So they can take. So Superman. So Batman as Superman can. Superman as Batman can lead them. Lead the people off the scent.
Sure.
Lead the dogs away. So Batman can go and
investigate or something.
I think he fights an alligator here or something.
I don't know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, because Batman as Superman could go investigate.
Yeah, so then he watches the lady cop and the mayor, like, walk into the monolith.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, man, I gotta do that. So he, like, runs head first into it, which I kind of wish he had just hit his head and fallen backwards.
Well, somehow he kayfabes himself into saying... He kayfabes the monolith into saying, like...
To, like, let him in.
Because Miles is like, hey, get the fuck away. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm Superman, and you can't stop me. You can't stop me like you stop Batman, even though I am Batman.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So he.
Well, also we forgot to point out the sexy changing scene here.
Oh, that's right. They're both shirtless.
Yeah.
Hubba hubba.
There's a scene here where they're just shirtless.
I mean, look at him.
They have the same exact hair.
They look exactly the same. Like, yeah. Look at him. He's just like peeling his costume off, and he's like, "Yeah." And Batman's looking at him like, "Yeah."
This is how Slash Fiction started.
100%.
This panel right here. And then they fucked. And then they fucked.
So he like goes into the monolith, and I guess I don't exactly know how this works. He sees like the ghost town, but it's all like fucked up.
Yeah.
And then he sees these giant like alligator creatures who like die. They drown in the water. They're gonna attack him.
There's this quicksand. So there's
quicksand. Here we are with quicksand again.
Yeah. Quicksand making a return to our show. So the quicksand. Yeah. So and for some reason. Batman as Superman does not sink into the quicksand. Wait, I know why he doesn't. He's in the quicksand, and then these other monsters come after him, but then they start falling, and one of the alligator monsters just goes, I want to live!
Another great panel. There's a bunch of good panels in here, because it's literally like...
I think I might use that panel to promote our show this week.
Yeah, it's a panel of this alligator face, like, right above quicksand, and it's just yelling, I want to live.
Yeah.
And then he's like, that sounded like a lady.
Yeah, I know. Batman as
like the mayor or whatever.
Sounded like a lady. And so Batman shows back up. And Superman, as Batman shows up, and he's like, yo, pull me out of this joint.
Yeah, I don't exactly know how this happened, because I thought they were inside, like, the monolith.
Well, no, they are. I think Batman says that. Or Superman says, as Batman says, I vibrated my molecules to fly through this wall.
Oh, that's right. So that's now we meet who the actual eye is, and it's the monster.
Well, real quick before I want to point out, Batman as Superman in Superman's costume does not drown, because as Batman.
Oh, that's right.
Because Batman's just. Because Superman as Batman.
It's his costume. It's like buoyancy or something.
Yeah, if Superman as Batman is just like. Watching Clark or Bruce sit there with just with his head above water, and he's like, "Yo, pull me out!" And he's like, "I know." He's like, "I might drown." And Superman's like, "You're not gonna drown because my outfit doesn't let people drown. Won't let me drown."
But you're like, "What? Okay. I mean,
my costume doesn't absorb anything. That's as far as it'll let you sink."
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense. Physics.
You don't die in quicksand because your clothing absorbs quicksand. Like, that's not how it fucking works. Or in water. Like, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever. So that's now we meet the
monster from the cover.
The monster from the cover, and they're like, "Hey, I'm hideous. I was banished here to this planet because I was ugly, and now I'm gonna make pretty people ugly. That's why I killed those women and turned them into alligator monsters."
Yes.
"And that's why I've conned them all into living in this town without men."
Right.
In believing that they have rights.
Right.
And stuff.
Stuff.
And so then they start fighting this monster. They also change costumes at some point. Yeah, they do change back.
Yeah.
And so Superman smashes.
Basically, they're fighting this monster here, and at some point, Superman flies away
and grabs the actual like monolith, thing and smashes.
Which I thought was, wait, I thought.
Okay. I thought they were inside of it. That's
apparently,
what I,
apparently they're outside of it.
Somehow they're outside of it. So he grabs a bottle
and then he throws it on top of this monster.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, by the way, it's also a spaceship and it's going to take this monster back to its home planet.
Yeah,
it's
something like some sort of like escape device.
Where
sets off.
Somehow this monster is like a citizen of a place full of humanoids and they're like, haha, you're ugly. Your sentence is to live in a cage full of mirrors for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And deal with the fact that you're a fucking hideous monster. And it's like, okay. And so then later on,
I guess this is the end.
This is the end. All the ladies are like, oh no, this creature was making us do terrible things. And then fucking gross ass Bruce is like, well, the worst part, the only antidote to stop the change is this. He starts kissing all these ladies. He's like, line up, girls.
Yeah, because we find out apparently that we forgot to mention this. So the monster was like, yeah, if a man touched a woman, then the spell would be broken.
Yes. If a lady who believes that she deserves rights and education and equal pay gets touched by a man, don't you worry, she'll immediately stop thinking that she should have those things and want to do nothing but cook and clean and give you babies.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah. No. But apparently in this book it does. And so all these women, so the monster goes away. But here's the thing I don't understand, because if these women are still under the spell of man-hating and they're like, oh man, this monster made us do these horrible things. But then this girl at the end's like, oh my God, we did all these horrible things. And, you know, so now that there's no reason for them to be kissed.
No.
Really isn't. Because the spell's already been broken, I guess.
Well, Bob Haney believes that if you get a taste of that dickin', you'll stop, you know, believing in things like ladies have rights.
Yeah.
Because isn't that how it works? Dicks are magic. I mean, dicks are great. Don't get me wrong. But they ain't magic.
They ain't magic. Dicks ain't magic.
And I can catch a dick and still believe that I deserve equal pay for my work. It's just that's how that fucking works, guys. Are you laughing at me because I said catch a dick?
Catch a dick. My wife, guys.
I mean, you married me. You knew what you were getting into.
This is the sort of commentary that you guys expect from this show.
Aren't you glad that you didn't pay for any of this?
Yeah. No.
Free podcast, kids.
Free podcast, kids. Catch a dick. that's how this dumb book ends.
Yeah, it's... This book is ridiculous. It is very of its time. Uh-huh. It is a lovely snapshot of its time. I love it in spite of its obvious misogyny.
Yeah.
But I really don't like the Super Sons.
No, though they suck.
I really don't like the idea of them. It's just it's weird. I mean, at least now, like, when we have the son of Batman.
It's actually Batman's son.
Yeah, it's like he's not Bruce Jr.
So who's Superman's son?
Oh, he's got he has a name and I don't remember.
It's not Superboy.
No, he's not Superboy. At least not now. At least he wasn't. I don't know. But I don't remember what his name is. But they have a son. He has, like, his own name. He has a mother. You know, and in the same with
Damian. Lois, is it?
Yeah, Lois is his mom. It's when, see, remember after the New 52 where, like, the old Superman came back and they were, like, living on a farmhouse and there was a kid whose name I don't remember.
Sure.
Jason, I don't know.
Ooh, Jason.
No, I don't remember his name. But,
Jason,
yeah.
Jason Superman.
But yeah, they were like, you know, living out there and Damian is like, he has his own character. He's a Robin, even though I hate Damian. He's still not just a younger clone of Batman.
Yeah.
But that's what the Super Sons were, which is just so weird to me. I've never liked it.
No.
But I'd still read the next issue of this book.
Yeah, no, totally read the next issue of this book. And I have that Super Sons collection that I got from the library.
Well, we're going to have to take a look at that. There might be some crazy
this
shit.
This might be in there, actually.
Maybe.
I don't know why. I mean, I don't know how it could
be. I didn't even know they had a collection, so.
Remember how we went to, like Barnes & Noble at one time?
Did we see it at Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, and we were like, holy shit, I can't believe they have this. And you were
well,
very
again,
excited.
I cannot believe they have this.
Well, Because these stories need to be immortalized.
Oh, they really need to be told.
This needed to be told. So, but yeah, that's yeah, definitely read the next issue of this. Big shout out to World's Finest Comics this week.
Oh yeah.
That's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. Email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And of course, please rate, review, and subscribe, and tell a friend wherever you get this podcast. We would really appreciate it. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk again soon.
Bye.